Charlie Chia, Fook Ying, Real One. Mr. Chia, could you begin by telling us something about your personal background?
Yes. In December 1981, I was working at the War Department with the Royal Engineers. At that time, I was more concerned with the defenses around the island, putting up these barbed wires and all that. Then later on, I was put back into the Royal Engineers yard at the Alexander Road. And there I was more or less a timekeeper. Then about a fortnight or so before the bombing of Singapore, they realized that they had to clean up the defenses which had been put up in the past. And therein they recruited 400 laborers to do the cleaning up every day. I was put in charge of allotting these laborers. The Malay regiment was in charge. Every morning, I had to supervise that they supplied the laborers, and put them onto the lorries provided by the Malay regiment. And if in the evening, I had to see that they're sent back to the central place for dispersal. So this I went on for some time. And of course, there were these air raid precaution exercises going on. And most of these shops, they closed early. And as a bachelor, by the time I came back to my room, it would have been about 6:30 or even more. I found it very inconvenient, you see, to get my dinner. So that early in the morning, I think around 5:30 to 6, all of a sudden we heard a loud banging sound. Later on, of course, I got up and looked out, what the hell is all this? Because we didn't hear any aeroplanes, I didn't even see any aeroplanes around. So later on, I found out that a bomb was dropped on one of the shop houses at Havelock Road. Indirectly opposite the present subordinate courts. And soon after, I learned the local term, chop kappa, which is the sign of the axe, the fireman's axe. And it seems that there was a bit of looting at a time. And this phrase became a common one whenever there was any bombing or looting going on. Now the situation as I described earlier on my inconvenience due to my work, it troubled me. So I had several colleagues, two of them Chinese. So when I had a palmistry book too, I took out the book and said, okay, we'll read our palms. And if the signs are right, we'll join the volunteer force. So each one opened the palms, we read our line of life. And since the line of life as shown on the palms of all three of us was a long one, we said, well, we'll be quite safe. So, right, we'll volunteer. So, next morning, I resigned from my place. The next morning, we went, the recruitment center was at the Raffles Girls School. We called at the office. My two friends were enlisted, but I was not, for some reasons or otherwise. So I was left alone again in Lurch. A few days after that, an old friend of mine who was working in the police force, he was evacuated from the man. He dropped in to see me. He said he had a proposition to put before me, and that was to return to Penang to do some undercover work for the Singapore Police Force. I said, well, since I was then young and a bachelor, what adventurous as you would say, I readily agreed to it. So he said, we'll go within the next few days when we receive final orders. I waited. Then the orders came. We were to proceed. There were two groups, altogether four of us. We were to go in pairs. I went with police officer. His name is George Ratna. So that night, our orders were to proceed to KL and report to a senior police officer there for further orders, you see. So that night, we took the train, reached Kuala Lumpur in the morning. We had our breakfast, and we reported at police headquarters.
Mr. Chia, before we talk about your mission in Penang, can you tell us how was the atmosphere in Singapore like just before the first bomb dropped in Singapore?
Well, although there were these
air raid precaution exercises, practices going on at the time. And this medical auxiliary service, the people were very calm, because they just simply took it lightly, you see. Because the British put up the propaganda, oh, these Japanese, they got these matchbox aeroplanes. They can't do much harm, you see. So the people were more or less quite confident, you see, and more or less showed a very disinterested attitude, you see, and just took all these exercises as in good fun. Other than that, there was nothing. The daily life went on as usual, you see. People moved about as though there was no impending danger otherwise.
Why did you and your friends decide to join the volunteer forces?
Oh, because we had a couple of mates who were already in the services. One a Eurasian, he was already in the volunteer force. Another Eurasian also, he was a ground mechanic with the Royal Air Force. So we thought, well, as part of our duty, since we've read our lifeline, there doesn't seem to be much of a danger. That's why we volunteered, you see.
That was only after the first bomb had dropped.
Couple of days after the first bomb had dropped, then we made this decision, you see.
So you were not enlisted by the volunteer forces?
No,
but you had resigned.
We volunteered for it, you see. Okay.
So you resigned from your job?
I resigned from my job, you see.
So subsequently, since you were not in the volunteer forces, what did you do?
Well, those few days I idled around until this police officer who was evacuated from Penang arrived in Singapore and looked me up and asked if I would accompany him back to Penang on an undercover mission for the Singapore Police Force. I readily agreed to it, and we waited a few days for instructions. When the instructions came, it was from Mr. Fowler, who was then an assistant commissioner in the police force. We were given our railway warrant tickets and asked to proceed to KL and report to, if I recall rightly, Mr. Daly, also another assistant commissioner at the Kuala Lumpur Police Headquarters. We left that night by train. And we arrived at KL the next morning. After our breakfast, we reported at the KL Police Headquarters. There we were told not to carry any weapons and excess money. We had along with us only a couple of shirts and pants. We were given $50 each, and told we could proceed to Penang. But at the first, at the last stop where the British forces were, we were given the password so that we could, we would not be asked to go back, allowed to proceed. So there'd be nothing more, right? We took a bus from KL to Kuala Kubu, about distance of about 20-odd miles. There we alighted from the bus, and we started walking, you see. So we walked for a few hours. Then we came to the line of the British defense forces. There an officer stopped us and told us the enemy is in front, not very far away. Where are you going? We said we're going up north. But we gave him the password. He advised us, right, if you have to go, do not take the road. Get into the rubber estate and go by a roundabout way so that you will not be endangered. That was already coming towards evening. So we, both of us went into the rubber estate. We did the circuit and later on we came to the laborers' quarters. Then we asked to see the four men. So the laborers brought us to the four men's house, and we asked him if we could take shelter there for the night. He kindly allowed us to pass the night there, but we were quite some distance from the main road, you see. But we did could hear a bit of firing. So we passed the night there, and next day we walked around a bit in the estate, and towards evening the laborers came the news that the British had retreated and the Japanese were coming down. So out of curiosity, both of us went down to the road there, and that was the first time I saw these Japanese soldiers. I could not believe myself that this was a human being. He looked more or less like a gorilla to me, right? They were on bicycles, you see, with a overgrown hair and beards and what have you, you see, and dirty faces. They did not look quite human to me.
Mr. Chia, what was the purpose of the trip to Penang?
We were asked to find out. They had the Sikh contingent in Penang with the police force. Similarly, they also had one in Singapore. So our main purpose was to find out the loyalty of this Sikh contingent and report back and make what observations we could. That was the main purpose, you see.
Why did they choose only two of you, and why not get the intelligence to do it?
No, because this was understand that this was a police force commitment, because they were involved with the Sikh contingent in Singapore, you see. They were afraid, most probably they heard a bit of rumors, you see. They were afraid that the Sikh contingent in Singapore could rebel. So that they could take precautions, you see. That was the idea behind it.
So it was only the Sikh contingent in Penang?
In Penang. Because this, they did not ask the intelligence people. Of course, at that time, in the police force, I don't think they had any such department, you see. All four of us, the three of them, were with the police force in Penang and evacuated with the last batch. I was the only Singaporean, you see. I understand later on, these two others, when they reached Malacca, they chickened out and stayed back in Penang until things settled down before they came back to Singapore.
The other two were also supposed to go to Penang?
Yes, but separately.
Why particularly the Sikh contingent? Was there any reason for it? For that kind of fears?
Well, I can only presume, because they were the only, large force in the police force, you see, who were really independent and armed, you see. So they could pose a threat to the government.
What kind of rumors did they hear? You mentioned that perhaps they have heard some rumors. Do you have any idea?
I don't have any idea on that, you see, but I can only presume there was a reason behind it.
On your way up to Penang, you met some British soldiers.
Yes. We met a British Army officer together with I would estimate that to be about almost 100 of his men.
Which part of Malaya?
They were in the same rubber estate. When we decided to proceed north in the next morning, we met them, you see. From the looks of their faces, my gosh, I said, it's a pity. These were all youngsters, most probably what you would say, just given a few months training and put on board the ship shipped out to Singapore. The army officer asked us what's happened. Were the British forces? Are there any Japanese soldiers around? We told them the British forces have retreated already, and the Japanese have broken through. And the best way of rejoining their own forces is go back into the jungle and do a circuit and hope for the best. There's nothing more they could do, is there?
Besides looking young, were there any other expressions on their face, whether they were fearful or anything of that sort?
Their faces were, I would say, pale, very agitated, you see. Similarly with the army officer, you see.
You mentioned that you knew that the British forces were retreating, so was there a reason to continue on to Penang?
Well, we thought that the Japanese would be held further down south, maybe before the causeway, and we could slip back into Singapore in time. At that time, it never occurred to any one of us that Singapore would fall.